Previously on the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Verlander hurt already?
Yeah, apparently. And didn't even pitch. Got a forearm strain, basically. Teres major strain, which is, I guess, not good. But, you know, Buck Showalter said he would have pitched through it if it was the playoffs. Obviously, it's not the playoffs. You know, he was going to pitch game three. So I
if
would
he
imagine.
Was a reliever, he wouldn't have pitched through it because Buck wouldn't have gone to him in the playoffs.
The Tony Kornheiser Show is on now.
So we will have all the basketball covered for you today. Michael Wilbon will be here. Bob Ryan, the quintessential American sports writer, will be here. And we can start with a couple of other things. One, the Nats. The Nats, yesterday.
Big outing.
First win of the season. Mackenzie Gore made his first start. And I would get rid of the two guys in front of him, Patrick Corbin. I'd DFA Patrick Corbin. It's over, I think. And he should have the honor of going wherever he wants to go with his World Series ring and all the good things he's done for the Nats. And Josiah Gray, and you're going to say, well, Josiah Gray is young. This is his third year. This third year being a complete starter. He gave up three home runs right away in a home start. Right away.
I mean, it's all about the lens through which you choose to look. I would also say the top of the Braves lineup can hit home runs at a great pace. So
I would hit him off Mackenzie Gore.
No, I would say let's pause a little bit.
Mackenzie Gore in his first start.
Worked quickly.
Went about six innings, somewhere in there, 89 pitches. Davey took him out at the exact right time. A reliever came in. I was sure the reliever would give up a three-run home run, and the game would be 4-4, and got a great double play. Got a great double play. C.J. Abrams was not out there when I was watching. What happened to him?
I don't know.
Did they bench him already because of his three errors in the first inning?
Potential gold glover from the early lists.
Yeah. Anyway, tough. The game went 2-17.
Woof.
They beat the Braves at home. Now, it's always going to go a little bit. If the home team is winning, it's always going to go a few minutes shorter because you just get to the visitors in the top of the ninth. But 2-17, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
On a bright, sunny day.
It's
cold and windy.
A great Sunday getaway game.
Yeah. You know, that's a great one to win. They're now 1-2. Look, they're not going to win.
Yeah,
even 50.
59 is
head of the Phillies in the standings.
You know, but
that's
nice. So that was
the best part about seeing Gore pitch is you're still trying to figure out what exactly does this haul look like from last summer. But to see what he would do in those middle innings when first guy gets on and to see how he worked out of that was, you know, gives you hope for the summer.
Yeah, he was really good.
Very little hope. But
as again, Josiah Gray, not good. Now that they got to get Max Scherzer. The Dodgers gave up Josiah Gray and Keibert Ruiz. Keibert Ruiz,
looks
we think,
great.
Is good. We think he's a catcher for 10 years. Josiah Gray, not sure. Not sure. Not yet.
Maybe Weekend's the catcher a little bit just with the way people are able to jump on some of those steals now, but worth it.
Keibert's got a pickoff move to first.
Yeah.
Not every catcher does. He's got that.
To have, yes.
Rose Yang, she won the women's amateur at Augusta. Rose Yang, for people that don't remember this, and why would you if you don't live around here? Rose Yang won the U.S. Junior Girls a couple of years ago at Columbia Country Club.
2021.
Yeah. She won that. She had gone the year before. She'd won the
Women's
AM at Woodmont. So she's great in the Washington, D.C. area. Now she's great in Augusta. Now she almost gagged this tournament away. She had a 6-stroke lead. Going into the final day, it's a 3-round tournament.
This is a 3-round tournament where the final round is played at Augusta National. There's a break where all competitors now get to play a practice round at Augusta National, which is a great nod to the power of the name of that course and what this tournament now means within sort of the rankings of all golf. And you looked at Rose, who was really, this was the final piece, the missing piece from one of the best amateur careers that we've ever seen.
She's still in sophomore or junior at Stanford.
And we are looking at, I mean, it brings back, everything's about the 90s right now. There are shades of Greg Norman as to what it would look like if she were to lose this tournament, but also the arrival
she
of
shot
Tiger
76.
Woods a year later in 97.
She shot 76 on the final day and was stuck in a playoff. And
there
was fortunate to win in the playoff because her competitor, Miss Bay, hit an errant shot and had to chip out and on the playoff hole. Rose
I don't think enough people are talking about the timing of that delay, the weather delay, where she really was driving it poorly and then comes back
yes.
and is able to settle herself as she goes through that 8, 9, 10, 11 stretch. Was missing a lot of what I would call mid-range birdie putts. They were hitting the edges, and you start to wonder, what is the impact of not having a local caddy on your bag? I mean, if you're not going to bring Doug down to Augusta.
Should have brought Doug Hurston down. I mean,
no, she has her dad famously on the bag for everything. She had Jennifer Kupko's caddy the day before for the practice round, but she was missing some putts, and she has lost this tournament on the second nine in years past, but there's something about Augusta. You get to that back nine, and weird things happen.
So it was really good to watch. Fun to watch the whole way. Wanted to mention that because she's local for us in a strange and weird way because she's won around here. And let me get to the women's tournament because I watched every minute of that. There's a couple of things that stand out to me. One is I really don't understand how LSU was a 3 seed and Iowa was a 2 seed. Iowa's record was 31-6. LSU's record is 33-2, yeah. And one of the losses is to South Carolina, the number one team in the country at that point. So I don't understand why they're not a 2. I'm not saying that Iowa shouldn't have been a 2. I'm saying LSU should have been a 2, okay, just so we understand that. The second thing is none of the referees who worked that game should be allowed to work any more games ever. They were terrible. They were making all the calls for LSU. It was unbelievably bad refereeing. Really bad refereeing. Quick fouls. It just bad refereeing. The better team won that game. LSU was better. LSU shot lights out from three in the first half and put themselves in a position to win that game. And every time Iowa came back on them, they answered right back. It never got to three or to four. Never did that. LSU was the better team. Do not misunderstand me. But the refereeing was abysmal. And they should take the names of those people and never let them ref again. It was no good. It wasn't the game that it should have been. And LSU deserved to win the game. And by the way, Kim Mulkey, in case you wonder why LSU goes out and spends a lot of money on Brian Kelly and Kim Mulkey, this is why. LSU's record, and by the way, our congratulations to Booger McFarland and James Carville, proud LSU alums, who yes. We know. The year before Kim Mulkey got there, LSU was 9-13. I think they're 60-8 since she got there with a national championship. She had 3 national championships as a coach at Baylor. She had a national championship as a player at Louisiana Tech. She had a gold medal in the 1984 Olympics as a player. I believe it was the 1984 Olympics. So she knows what she's doing. You know, this is not... Whatever she had to do to take Caitlin Clark out of her game, she did. And though Caitlin Clark made 9 threes, which is an awful lot of threes, I think she shot 22. So that's 45% or something like that, or less than that. You know, so, I mean, they held Caitlin, even with 30 points and all of her assists, they held Caitlin Clark down. And the rest of LSU, the rest of Iowa, rather, wasn't good enough to win because they scored 102 points, the highest amount of points ever in a final. 102 points. They looked great. And yet, earlier in the year, when they were undefeated and they went to play South Carolina, they lost by 25. So the second level analysis would be this. And we've seen this a lot. It took so much out of Iowa to beat South Carolina. The odds against them were so great. And the game they played was so pure that 2 days later, they didn't have enough left. I mean, I think you can make that argument. I think we saw that with UCLA in this tournament, men's tournament. I think we saw it with Tennessee in the men's tournament. There are certain signature wins. We saw that a few years back. Who was the great team? Wisconsin. Didn't Wisconsin beat Kentucky? Wasn't Kentucky undefeated 6 or 7 years ago, something like that, maybe more? And then they couldn't win in the final because they played the game of their lives to get to the final. That's what I think probably happened to Iowa. And again, do not mistake what I'm saying here. LSU deserved to win that game. Refereeing or not, LSU deserved to win that game. I'm just saying there were some flaws in that game that seemed pretty obvious to me. We'll talk to Wilbon.
2015 Final Four, I believe you're thinking of.
Wisconsin beat Kentucky, right? Yeah.
71-64.
It was one of the greatest games ever. And then in the finals, they got beat by Duke, maybe?
I have to go, but yeah.
Yeah, Duke beat Michigan State that year, 81-61.
No. You'd have to beat Wisconsin. Who did Wisconsin
lose? No. I'm just saying in the semifinals.
Oh, okay. So that was the Shire team, right?
Yes, I believe so.
That was the Shire team, man.
I remember there's some bad calls.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, these things happen.
I'm sure I'll get a text from Jim Hughes correcting me on that one.
We have a...
Just like he did with the sausages.
I love that Wisconsin
68-63, the final.
Okay. So we have... We have The Ballad of Caitlin Clark by Dan Byrne.
Yes,
that's going to play in Wilbon when we return. How fantastic is that? I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You hear that? Your dog knows spring is coming sooner than you think. Dog walks, dog parks, playing fetch, all the stuff your dog loves to do with you. But the warmer weather also means that fleas and ticks are coming back. Fleas and ticks are in the grass, in the woods, and even on their dog friends. Fleas are an itchy nuisance, can easily get into your home, furniture, and beds, which can be terrible. Ticks are even worse. They're hard to spot, but can carry disease and get your dog really sick. PetMeds has your furry friend protected with the best products to prevent flea and ticks all year long. PetMeds pharmacists connect directly with your vet to save you time and deliver the best products for your pet. PetMeds offers low prices on all flea and tick meds, including NexGard, Simparica, and more. And PetMeds AutoShip helps you save even more with additional discounts on regular shipments of PetMeds, dog food, and other high-quality supplies. So get ready for all the spring fun now. Visit PetMeds.com and use promo code PODCAST to save 40% on your first auto ship order. That's PetMeds.com and promo code PODCAST.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
She can pass like Larry Bird, shoot like Steph behind the arc. From anywhere on the court, she'll always find her mark. Put a statue of her down in the park. It's the ballad of Caitlin Clark. Caitlin, Caitlin, Caitlin Clark. Growing up, she played from sunrise till dark. She'll always find a teammate. She's a six-foot spark. This is the ballad of Caitlin Clark. Her stats are only one half of the story. She's an inspiration, led the Hawks to glory. She's still got one more season, then who knows what she'll do. Maybe the WNBA when college days are through. Caitlin, Caitlin, Caitlin Clark. Growing up, she played from sunrise till dark. She'll always find a teammate, she's a six-foot spark. This is the ballad of Caitlin Clark. The ballad of Caitlin Clark.
That is the great Dan Byrne, who is an Iowa native and writes, as an Iowa native, this kind of felt like my civic duty. Michael Wilbon joins us now. He was on Caitlin Clark ahead of everybody. Ahead of everybody. Told me you got to watch her. I watched her a few times. She's a great player. Referees killed her yesterday, took her out of the game. And again, I'll say this time and time again, the better team won yesterday. LSU deserved to win, but people got cheated out of what could have been a better game because of terrible, awful refereeing. That's my thoughts. What are your thoughts?
You know, Tony, I wouldn't go that far, but there was some shoddy officiating in that game. There's no question about that. It was still entertaining. It wasn't as entertaining as it might have been, but you know, Ellis. Here's the thing: once you see what she can do to you, back-to-back games in the tournament in a historic way. I mean, Kim Mulkey is in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, there's a reason.
Not headed to the Hall of Fame. She's in it.
Right. Right.
Okay. Not the College Basketball Hall of Fame. The Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame. Okay. So, you know, that assignment was the kind of thing that you want a Hall of Fame coach to have, to say, okay, some really great people have been torched by her. What do you got? And she had something, and her players had something. She's a guy, she's a great coach. She knows how to motivate. She knows how to teach. And so that is what I, you know, look, I no matter where I've lived, and I've lived in the East Coast off I-95 for 43 adult years mostly, the Big Ten is my home.
That's
my heart. So I pay attention to what goes on in that conference, and she all winter is what was going on in that conference. So I don't get any special scouting credit, I don't think. But it was just fun, You know, on the Big Ten Network on a normal night, you want to turn on and see Iowa versus Northwestern. You could. And I didn't get a chance to hear in person because I couldn't travel as much this winter. But I would have gone. I mean, Don and I have season tickets to both men's and women's games in Evanston. I would have. I think Don did go see your play. And it was, you know, Tony, I told you for the whole weekend, going into the weekend, I'm not jazzed by the men's Final Four. I wanted to see South Carolina versus Caitlin Clark, and I got to see it.
I am not going to argue your point at all anymore. It bothered me when you first said it, but the women's ratings, I read stories about this. The women, first of all, South Carolina's undefeated defending championship team, really good team. And as you know, Mike, I didn't think Iowa had a chance against them. I did not. That game averaged 5.5 million viewers and peaked at 6.6 million viewers. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure tonight's game's going to get 6.6. I'm not. At Columbia Country Club yesterday, and you know the kind of people that belong there because you and I belong there, I had at least 8 to 10 people say to me, I'm getting out of here now. I want to go see the women. They'd never watched a women's game before in their lives. They wanted to see Caitlin Clark.
They did? Yeah. I mean, the circumstances demanded it. And look, women's basketball has an advantage over men's college basketball right now in that you know who the stars are because they stay and play 4 years.
Yeah.
You know them.
Yep.
Don't know who the men are. You might know by the end of the year who's on your favorite blue blood team, but you don't really know. And so that is the way I felt about it. I felt about it that way all season. And then it was just easy to feel about that last week when, you know, we know Jim Larrañaga, and I have some passing interest in his team, which is Miami. But I don't have any interest. I don't know who's on. The last time I knew a San Diego State player was Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah, I don't know anybody.
And that's just like 2011. So, you know, that ship had sailed for me with the men's college basketball. Will I watch tonight? Yes.
Yeah.
I'll watch because there's no NBA. The NBA takes off essentially Saturday and Monday. They had to have two games on Saturday. But they take off Saturday and Monday. They clear the way. They clear the marquee for the Final Four, which is what the NBA should do.
That's right.
And they do the proper thing. And so there are no NBA games tonight. I will watch the championship game. But am I going to watch it and, like be into it and have both eyes on it? I don't know.
I want to go back. I will mention this briefly about the NBA. For those of you thinking of voting for Joel Embiid for MVP, just stop. Just stop. Because Philadelphia went to Milwaukee last night and Antetokounmpo won the game, as he always does, and had better stats than Embiid, as he always does. Mike, I know you love Embiid, but Antetokounmpo is the MVP. He may not get it because he's won it three times already, but he's the best player out there. He's the best.
As I say every week, Tony, this is fluid. And so it may have stopped being fluid last night because of that game, which I watched in its entirety. Mm-hmm. And Joel Embiid was fine.
He's fine. The other guy's better.
Fine. And Alice Cooper had a better game. And Jokic is actually, I thought Jokic was being held out for load management purposes. No, I'm told by somebody who knows that that Jokic is not what you'd call injured, but he is hurting. If the calf injury is a real injury, and they know they have no chance if they go into these playoffs
without him
reduced.
That's right.
And so they basically said to him, as Philly, by the way, said to Embiid last week, no, that's good. You want to play with
that. Have
a seat.
This is your investment in a player for the long haul. So I got no problem with that. Let me go back. Yeah. I thought Dawn Staley blundered in the South Carolina-Iowa game. I thought she didn't do enough to stop Caitlin Clark. And I look at what Kim Mulkey did, had somebody on her all the time. When Caitlin Clark took threes, she was taking them in a split second with somebody on her from longer than she likes to take them. I know you don't think Dawn Staley blundered, but I do.
I don't think blunders had anything to do with the game. Any more so than when Michael Jordan would go in the year building and score 50.
or in, no more so than when Kobe Bryant would go into your building and score 50. No, no. It was art. I mean, I'm not saying that she had her single best effort as a head coach strategically. I'm not going to say that. But no, because it had no play in it to me. And I think this is the culture we live in now where everything is overanalyzed to death. Caitlin Clark torched them. And by the way,
she did.
There was a stretch of time in which she was torching LSU too.
That's right.
Okay? She didn't go 4-for-18 last night.
Nope.
All right? So Kim Mulkey, as great as she is, and Kim Mulkey had the advantage once again of watching Final Four level teams get torched two times in a row by Caitlin Clark. She had the advantage of that. And so, you know, no, I don't. To me, and I had discussions like this with two Hall of Fame players, who were in the same Hall of Fame as Kim Mulkey. And they were not critical. They were just saying, maybe she should have. I'm like, maybe she should have what? Maybe she should have trapped her so Caitlin Clark could have five or six more bounce pass assists for layups. You mean that? No, I just think, okay. No, I don't even consider it.
I'll tell you where I thought another blunder took place. And I am totally convinced of this. Florida Atlantic University calls a timeout with 17 seconds to go in the game. They are up one. They have the ball. They have 11 seconds left on a shot clock.
Got to use it.
The coach has to say two things. One, even if we don't get a shot off, they're only going to have 6 seconds
with
the ball. And two, let's make sure we get a good look. And the guy came out and took the first shot available. And, Mike, I thought that was bad coaching and bad execution.
Bad execution, Tony. I don't know about coaching. One of the things that I talked to a couple of Hall of Famers about was the difference. We're so used to NBA coaches and what they can do and how the hours, the laboratory they put those guys in, and they're professionals. And college teams don't have that. And they don't have guys who listen as much because NIL or not, they ain't being paid like that. They're not making $50 million a year. And so I don't know if it's coaching. I have to hear that. I'm convinced by said Hall of Famer that you don't necessarily get the same response and the same lock-in that you might in an NBA game.
Okay. But, you know, I know you agree with me that that was the wrong shot to take.
It was a bad execution.
The wrong shot.
I don't know whether it was bad coaching. It was bad execution without question.
San Diego State got better in the second half. San Diego State gave up 40 in the first half, 31 the second. They're a defensive team. And San Diego in the last 6 to 8 minutes of the game, every shot they had was a good shot. They missed them because they're not very good. Offensively, they're not very good.
They're not a terrific offense.
They missed them. And I assume that you assume that on form, UConn should win this game tonight.
Yeah, from what we've seen in this tournament, UConn should win the game.
Yeah, that's how I feel.
From what we've seen. Yeah, we have no question about that. But but if nothing else, this tournament's been unpredictable. It's been predictably unpredictable.
Yeah, that's true. I'm glad both Miami schools are out. Lebatard can eat it. I mean, he doesn't have a home school at this point. And the other thing to talk about, I guess, briefly, and I don't know, because it's assuming UConn will win. Danny Hurley must be very good at this job, right? He must be very good.
Yeah. I mean, yes. I mean, the whole family's good. It's like the Drew family, right?
Yeah. But, I mean, Bobby was a better player, and it looks like Bobby's had opportunity to coach. It looks like Danny's the better coach, doesn't it?
I guess, but I don't know enough about the recruitment end of it.
Right.
You know, sort of who they have at their disposal, what they're allowed in their culture. College coaching, one thing, Tony, that I've sort of, I don't know, made a different piece with is college coaching is so different school to school that what constitutes success is necessarily different school to school. You know what I mean?
Yes, I agree with that.
But I can't judge all of it the same way.
No, I agree. And there's so many more coaches. You know, it's not like the pros with his 30. You know, it's just different. All right, I'll talk to you later. Thank you.
All right, Tom. Sounds good.
Michael Wilbon, boys and girls, we'll take a break. Bob Ryan will join us when we return. I believe he is in Houston at the Final Four. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
Selling a little or a lot?
Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is a 16-year-old girl named Annalise Marie. She's from Virginia. She said, I was wondering if you wanted to play some songs from my album, Older Now, which came out last summer. So she was 15. You and your listeners can find it on Spotify and Apple Music. Hope you all like them, and thanks for considering it. Best, Annalise Marie.
You tell me I ain't pretty. And I ain't skinny.
Right.
Enough for you.
Well, she's like Bob Dylan.
And you break my heart like it's nothing. Well, I'll give you something, something to do.
This is Annalise Marie. The song is called Ride On Cowboy. Michael, if people like Annalise Marie probably need permission from their parents at that age to send in their music if they want to, how do they do it?
Send us your music by emailing it to jingles@tonykornheisershow.com.
I'll just say, I do this periodically with artists that send us music. I'll go straight to iTunes and download the whole album. Did this for her. It's fantastic.
Annalise Marie, 16 years old. Bob Ryan was 16 once. I was 16 once. Now it's like 16 times 5 for both of us. He's the quintessential American sports writer. You're down in Houston for the Final Four. Who do you like? Who do you like tonight?
Well, first of all, she's no Little Peggy March or American.
I will follow him, Little Peggy March. I love him, and where he goes, I'll follow.
The greatest song ever written, Marcy Blaine, you know, Bobby's girl.
Yeah.
But anyway, common sense, there's no way anyone who's watched this tournament can say anything other than if they play, UConn has been the best team.
Yeah.
And if they continue to play at that level one more time, they will win the game. I said before the tournament, the Final Four started, if they all play their A game, then any idiot knows UConn's going to win. And now, that doesn't mean I don't think that San Diego State can win. I just said if UConn continues to play at that level, their basketball has been the best.
Do you ever remember a Final Four with a 4, 2 fives, and a 9? Like without a single 1, 2, or 3? I don't remember that.
It's all been documented. No. And then this is the first Final Four since 1979 in which there were no, quote-unquote, McDonald's All-Americans. But if it was ever going to happen, Tony, it would have going to be this year. This is the weirdest, wildest, craziest year I ever remember. A year in which there were multiple number ones, a year in which successive weekends, number one and two, each lost on the same Saturday night, a year in which the four number one seeds, the fewest wins for the was five. There's never been a year like this. So if it was ever going to happen, we would get this kind of two outliers. You have to call San Diego State one, even though they shouldn't be. But they're historically an outlier. It would be this year.
I have to say that if, given the Final Four, and I've watched some of it now, I don't know a single player on any team, Bobby. There was nobody on my radar,
Well, there should be Samogo.
From Connecticut.
You have to have him. But other than that, You're right. You know, the best player on all year on Miami was Isaiah Wong. He had a couple of moments the other night. No one knew anybody, obviously, outside of Boca Raton, Florida, about FAU. We know that. No one knew anybody. And San Diego State was under the radar all year. They entered the tournament, with most people outside of San Diego in that conference not knowing anything about them. You're right. UConn's the only one with any hope. And Samogo, though, he's been a other than that, I think you're onto something.
Well, one of the reasons you would know him is because you live in Boston, and that's a New England team, and you would see them a lot more. They were ranked as high as two in the country at one point, and then you turned around, they'd lost 6 out of 8, and I just figured they're overrated. I had no regard for them whatsoever. I clearly was wrong, but I had no regard. I mean, I didn't think – I was also wrong about the Big East. I didn't think the Big East was particularly good. Now, in hindsight – the Big East was better than I thought, and UConn is better than I thought. But I just tuned them out in the middle of the year.
Well, I happened to go to the Big East tournament, and of course they didn't win that, and I wasn't blown away or anything by them, that's for sure. And by the way, full disclosure, in my bracket, and I only filled out a bracket for purposes of talking with you on that Tuesday morning, I had Iona beating them because I figured, hey, I got to find some upsets, and that's I wasn't overwhelmed by UConn having just seen them, and there was all that publicity about Rick and all at the time, and I went along with the flow and I picked Iona, and so that's where I came from.
I said this to Wilbon. He doesn't really know. I don't really know. Don't know if you really know. Bob Hurley Sr. is a Hall of Fame coach. There's not that many high school coaches. There's Morgan Wooten and him, as far as I know. Mm-hmm. He's got two kids who were very good players. One was a great player. Bobby Hurley was a great college basketball player. His pro career was cut short by an automobile accident. Danny Hurley was an okay player. It's sort of like the Millers. You know, Sean Miller was a terrific college player. His brother Archie was okay. But Danny Hurley seems to have the coaching gene. Am I right on this?
Well, that's logical. He started off at St. Benedict's in Newark, New Jersey, and made them into a national power when they had only been known to those of us who grew up in New Jersey, and who actually played against them, by the way, and beat them one time. But we won't get into that today.
It's a long time ago.
He made St. Benedict's a power, got the Wagner job. Now, that's not exactly a plum job, although it was PJ had it, and PJ won 3 games there 1 year before he got rolling. And then he went to Rhode Island and did a good enough job to warrant consideration to take over UConn. Yeah, Bobby has been up and down more or less at Arizona State.
I think so.
I was thinking last night, I said to my wife, Elaine, I said, I wonder what's going through Bobby's head, you know, right now. A little sibling, envy kind of thing. I mean, I don't know. I mean, Bobby's, I'm just wondering how Bobby, you know, he's obviously rooting for his brother, but I was the golden child. You're right. By the way, you did not underrate him. You can argue he's the greatest point guard in college basketball history.
It's great.
As an achiever, you can say that. And his pro career was cut short by an incredibly awful accident, which he almost died, almost drowned in a ditch. That's how crazy. That's how his career was.
People will not remember this. Bob Ryan will remember this, and I remember this. When the Dream Team was put together, they played scrimmages against college players. And every one of the members of the Dream Team said, Hurley's killing us. He's killing us. Remember that, Bobby?
I certainly do. It was the famous scrimmage. They had the 8 guys that they put, all college all-star, very good team, put together to be the opposition for the Dream Team in La Jolla when they began practice in June of 1992. And they, after the first day of scrimmage, when the kids actually beat them, we were hearing that the conversation was, "You guard him." No, I don't want to guard him. You guard him. And you're right. Bobby entered the pros with he was going to be a terrific pro, and then he had this incredible accident when he had after a game in Sacramento, and he got hit by another vehicle, and avoided for his teammate Mike Poplawski, who pitched him, who pulled him out of the ditch. He may very well have drowned in 3 inches of water.
All right, let me shift back to my pet peeve on the semifinal games.
Okay.
It's a terrible last possession by FAU. What are you doing? What are you doing? You're up 1. Even if you don't shoot at all, they're going to have 6 seconds. What are you doing, right?
Yeah, and I know. And then, you know, then if you're going to go for the basket, you know, the kid was open. He could miss the layup. Missed the layup, but you don't need anything there. Well, they hadn't been there before, quote unquote, right?
Yeah.
It's something they're going to haunt them for a long time. There's no question. They had the game. They controlled most of the game.
Yes, they did.
And they deserved to win the game at that. As much as either team deserved to win, if you're going to be really, fair about this, both teams deserved to lose. It wasn't a very good game.
No,
it wasn't. It was not a good game, but still there was drama attached when any game is close, no matter how sloppily teams approach the end of a game. If it's a 1-point game, there's inherent drama, and there was. And then they blew it.
What a great time!
Let's give the other kid credit. The Butler made a great shot.
They made a great shot. Well,
reminiscent of Keith Smart's shot, except from the other side of the basket.
So here's my feeling about that. The last 8-10 times down the court, San Diego State had good shots. They're just not very good at making them. But they had good shots, and the kid made the shot. It's another good shot.
The one they needed, he did make. Yes, he did.
Must be a great time to be from Boston with the Celtics and the Bruins and the baseball starting. Yes? No?
Yeah, absolutely. Although so much of the dialogue leading up to the beginning of opening day was how it was moaning and groaning and weeping and wailing about the White Sox and how they're going to finish last again. And all that, but still, you get tired of hearing that. We should be very grateful to have the Bruins have a better chance. Let's be honest, the Bruins have a better chance to go all the way than the Celtics. They're not reliable. They do weird things. They're great one night and they're terrible the next. If they play their A game, they're as good as anybody. But they don't always bring it. But it is great, and we have an outside. We have a very good chance of becoming one of the few teams. It's been done in New York. It's been done in Pittsburgh.
Multiple champions.
Two multiple champions in the same year. And we had it, of course, in 2004 with the Red Sox and the Patriots.
So this is interesting. I live in a city that has all four teams. There's about 12 or 13 cities in the country that have all four teams. In most of those cities, there is a discernible hierarchy that very rarely changes.
Oh.
Boston, to me, is one of the exceptions to the rule. That Boston, depending on what's going on, that hierarchy might change. How do you rank them 1 to 4 right now?
You're right.
I'm sure the Patriots are 4 now.
The Red Sox reigned supreme, and there was no argument. And I used to say that you could rate baseball 365 days a year in Boston and justify it. Then came the Brady Belichick era and flipped it. And the Red Sox were 1, and then depending on who was hotter, the Celtics or Bruins were 2, and the Patriots were a clear, distant 4th entering the 21st century in this town. And then but then they took over and became number 1, and they relegated the Red Sox to 1A. And then the Red Sox have now fallen back to where you might argue they're 4. Now, Patriots,
3.
Believe me, there's still enormous interest in the Patriots.
Really?
The draft, why? Because now I got a new issue to focus on. Is Belichick on the, are you ready, hot seat? I'm serious.
Oh.
That's a dialogue in Boston. Last year, he's being held accountable by the public and the media for the disastrous decision not to have a legitimate offensive coordinator.
Terrible. Patricia was terrible. Stupid.
And it was a disaster. And he's, you know, he has been his flippant off-season self talking about things. And people, it's okay. You can be as arrogant and condescending as he is prone to be when you're winning. But it's just, this is a life lesson, you know that. But you can't, it wears very thin when you're not winning.
Do you like the you followed hockey to a degree.
Yeah.
Do you,
yes.
Is how good is this Bruins team compared to, they've won Stanley Cups before. You know Stanley Cup winners.
They won, of course they haven't. And the comparison and the worry that we have here, those of us who do, you know, have a little historical mindset, is that the most prolific Bruins team of all time was the 1970-71 team. And they wound up losing in the playoffs when this kid from Cornell dropped out of the sky at the end
Ken
of the year.
Dryden.
Named Ken Dryden.
Yeah.
And the Canadians beat them. The Bruins are establish a franchise record of points. They may have an all-time set. They're on their way to setting an all-time NHL record for points.
Yeah.
And when we all know that in recent years, winning that so-called the President's Cup, which
hurts
is emblematic
you.
Of, is no passport,
nope.
is no guarantee of winning the playoffs, the Stanley Cup. Nope. So we're a little apprehensive up here, you know. They got to shatter something, almost a President's Cup jinx. But technically, they're touching all the bases. They have multiple scoring lines. They've got a superstar in Pasternak. They've got the wonderful Patrice Bergeron. And the most important thing, that without which you cannot even have this discussion, Linus Ullmark is going to run away with the Vezina. And if he has given them the high level goaltending, and that's a big plus.
I hope they win. I do. That'd be nice. Like when original six teams win. Thanks, you, Bobby. Enjoy the game tonight.
Okay, Tom. So bye-bye.
Bob Ryan, boys and girls, the quintessential American sports writer. We will come back with email and jingle when we return. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Tony Kornheiser Show.
Here comes Tony's mailbag, got your email, faxes, and notes. Here comes Tony's mailbag, gonna read some for all you folks. Mail now, baby.
I want them to reunite and just come to my house and play.
Right.
Just play the mailbag thing. Hot pink hangover. Makes
them.
Me very happy. You want to do the Bethesda Bagel app?
Yes, Bethesda Bagels. We love them. You will as well. Got the bagel sandwiches today. Always excited about that. All you need to do is go to BethesdaBagels.com, forward a location in a DC area nearest you, then pop on in and you will be thrilled.
Blueberry bagel is a big hit.
Oh, good. And hot. They were hot.
When we served it, it was hot, but for a different reason. We had toasted the bagel.
Oh, okay. Before we get to the mailbag, let me just say he was a hard-headed man. He was brutally handsome, and she was terminally pretty. She held him up, and he held her for ransom in the heart of the cold, cold city. He had a nasty reputation as an evil dude. I said he was crude. This is Don Henley and Glenn Frey. This is Life in a Fast Lane, a phrase I believe that Glenn Frey made up.
No, it was members of the friend, the Count.
Oh, okay.
That was
somebody
in the
made it up.
They were, yeah,
in
the Count.
It's in the American lexicon now,
yes, because
Life in the Fast Lane.
They were driving to do something illegal, I think.
Nah,
and he just said, and the Count apparently said, that's Life in the Fast Lane.
Just
and they said, that's a
great song.
It is. It's brilliant.
Great song. Thanks to our guests today, Michael Wilbon and Bob Ryan. Thanks to our sponsors, ZipRecruiter, Policy Genius, Liquid IV. Remember, you can listen to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, and Odyssey. If you get the show through Apple Podcasts, please leave us a review. From Mike, just Mike, Mike O'Brien, Fletcher, Vermont. Never been to Revere. I wanted to let you know that you played at the St. Johnsbury Country Club in St. Johnsbury, Vermont. The reason I know this, yeah, I kept thinking Shrewsbury. He's right. The reason I know this is you mentioned it to me at Chatter. My wife and I enjoyed breakfast during one of your podcasts. During a photo op, we told you we were Vermonters. You basically said it was too cold up there, but you enjoyed a round of golf in St. Johnsbury. Now that I answered that question, I have one for the English majors. On the back of many a Subaru, the letters PZEV are displayed. I always wondered what that meant. On closer inspection, the words in very small letters say partial zero emission vehicle. Can you please tell me what that means? What is a partial zero? Another reason to loathe Subarus. From Tom Pace.
I'm looking up the grill room. You'd remember the patio where we had lunch.
At St. Johnsbury,
yes.
From Tom Pace in Lakewood,
Ohio. Looks
pretty
warm in the picture.
The other day, you praised Jim Larrañaga, and deservedly so, for taking both George Mason and Miami to the Final Four. You then asked if any other coach had taken two such schools to the national semifinals. I want to put out the name Lee Rose. Lee took UNC Charlotte with Cornbread Maxwell to the Final Four in 1977, where he lost Al McGuire and eventual champion Marquette. In 1980, he took Purdue to the Final Four, losing in the semifinal to UCLA, coached by your former counselor, Larry Brown. Neither school had been to the Final Four before, and neither has been back since. Lee played college basketball alongside my dad at Transylvania University, where they became lifelong friends. Lee was best man at my parents' wedding in 1966. Lee died last April at age 86, and I stay in touch with his widow, Eleanor. He is often forgotten as a college coach, but in the late 70s and early 80s, he was one of the game's best. 100%. I had thought Purdue had been there before. You know, which is the ranking for me. If you've never been there before and then you don't get back since. Lee Rose, absolutely. Absolutely.
It's a short list, though, yeah.
From David Johansson in San Diego. Did you have a brain freeze on last Monday's show calling Interstate 95 the nation's greatest highway? Are you kidding? It's an ugly scar of sooted concrete jammed with cars and trucks from Boston to at least south of D.C. and no doubt onto Atlanta most days. Now, Atlanta's on 85. It's further west. It's stretched through the stinking industrial mosh pit of northern New Jersey is the transport version of infamia. Infamia, I don't know what that is. It's a foreign word, obviously. The correct answer is Highway 101. You and Jackson Brown. From San Diego to Seattle, with its various names, the Highway of Romance, the Royal Road, and the Pacific Coast Highway, connoting its beautiful vistas and lure of adventure. What other road in America can compare with a highway skirting the Pacific, crossing the Golden Gate, traversing wine country, weaving through mighty redwoods, touching the Oregon sand dunes, and encircling the primeval rainforests of the Olympic Peninsula? Name one song written about I-95 as opposed to 50 with lyrics that feature or include the Pacific Coast Highway. There was even the Highway 101 country rock band in the 80s and 90s. I-95 might touch a dozen top-rated East Coast college sports programs for all I care. It's still a ribbon of ugliness, first, last, and always.
South of the border. Never saw such a place.
Son, let me talk to you for a second. I-95 is the highway of dreams, and you need a little historical perspective. The immigration to this country came from east to west. It started in the east. People from Europe came to settle America. And everything went west from there. The phrase manifest destiny comes to mind. The great intercontinental railroad comes to mind. That's how it progressed. You're right about the beauty of the California highways. Everybody wanted to go to California. I wanted to go to California. But the highway of dreams in America, the highway to learn how to make money in America, the highway to learn how to be an American is I-95, my friend, I-95. From Meredith Wright in Prescott, Ontario, on the shore of the St. Lawrence River, that yellow Datsun B210 Tim Kirchen spoke of, love the way she spells it, K-I-R-C-H-E-N, Tim Kirchen spoke of, was likely a special model called the Honeybee. At the time, it was sold under the slogan, tell inflation to buzz off. The Datsun B210 Honeybee was not only the lowest priced car in the United States, it was also rated as having the highest available fuel economy. The car was targeted at young first-time buyers. In the 70s, that would be Tim. Some of the Honeybee's features included no carpeting, no armrests, no cigarette ladders, and no door trim molding, a very basic car. High rollers like you, Tony, bought the Ford Pinto. Tim is always great, enjoying these unstructured conversations you're having with some of your regulars. Love the Tim story about milking a cow at Ferguson Farm. I was the classroom teacher who asked Tim Kay to be a chaperone on his daughter's field trip. Tim did a very good job on milking his first cow. We were very proud of him. From Jason Blazer, episode 131, Lake Orion, Michigan.
Subtle brag.
And I went to like a nail store, you know, a five and a, what do they call those things? Dearest Dr. Hofloff. Not that you could if you wanted to, but don't ever change. Just love you so dang much.
Still searching for that nail.
From Jim and I'm searching for that nail, and I hope she finds it. But I'd trade all of my tomorrows for one single yesterday to be holding Bobby's body next to me. From Jim in Lutherville. I listen to the podcast, hear comments and insights that make me stop and think. On Wednesday, you came through for me when you said, and I quote, I went to the nail store. Okay. From Kristen LeBlanc. From a man named Kristen, episode 176. I host a Summer of Littles meet and greet in Yarmouth, Nova Scotia, in Canada. I'm hoping for a better outcome this year than last year. I had two of my buddies come with me so I wouldn't look like a dope sitting there alone. Could you let people know about it, please? 6 p.m. at Boston Pizza in Yarmouth, August 5th. From Nick in Chicago. Tell Joe in Austin not to let the look of the place deceive him and go with a grandma slice from New York Pizza Suprema on 8th Avenue. It's the best I've had in the city, a convenient as it's a block from Penn Station. Mm. And from Tyler Etchenkamp in Lincoln, Nebraska. To answer your question from Wednesday's episode of the pod, there are 218 episodes of Chuck and Roxy's Loyal Little Podcast, and I've appeared on none of them. Just missed the top 20. If you're out on your bike tonight, everyone, as always, do wear white.
What's that, chicken? Every night is the f- chicken. Holy God almighty.
Dad.
She can pass like Larry Bird. Shoot like Steph behind the arc. From anywhere on the court, she'll always find her mark. Put a statue of her down in the park. Is the ballad of Caitlin Clark. Caitlin, Caitlin, Caitlin Clark. Growing up, she played from sunrise till dark. She'll always find a teammate. She's a 6-foot spark. This is the ballad of Caitlin Clark. Her stats are only one half of the story. She's an inspiration, led the Hawks to glory. She's still got one more season, then who knows what she'll do. Maybe the WNBA when college days are through. Caitlin, Caitlin, Caitlin Clark. Growing up she played from sunrise till dark. She'll always find a teammate, she's a 6-foot spark. This is the ballad of Caitlin Clark. The ballad of Caitlin Clark.
Yeah.
back, you got.